Yeah, it was fine. Also, the past 2 minutes has been back and forth.
Yeah, you just went to complete dog shit.
No, who did?
You.
You guys are all over the place. Is it me?
It's you, dude.
It's fucking Janice. I'll be right back.
Alright.
Motherfuckers, turn off the downloading!
Just see him, like, bring up a baseball bat.
Remember what Jason Voorhees says about downloading while daddy's working?
Welcome to another Beer and Loathing podcast. Today we have an old friend of ours, Michael Biddick, from his pad. He is a new brewery rep. We want to congratulate him on that. So,
well done. Yep. Full on clap, not a slow clap.
Yeah. He's moved from the craft bar biz to the craft brewery biz. So, congrats, dude.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Always welcome on here.
So, I'm Sam Sly, and I'm here, too, since Pete, you know, doesn't want to ever talk about me anymore.
Oh, that's true. Fuck, I didn't give you an intro. I'm sorry, Sam. And I'm always, as always, I'm joined by Sam Sly out in Colorado, my brother from another mother.
Yeah, the drunk one.
That's awesome.
Did you like that little prop I threw to you? Unlike my drunk counterpart, Sam.
Oh, I know, and I
alcoholic did,
I called something out of my own in my sampler, so...
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
The battle will rage on.
It will.
I don't think it'll be as good, but it'll... you set the bar way too fucking high, but it'll be a...
It's going to be a battle of remarks.
It's basically it. Michael, is this your third or fourth time on the podcast?
I believe third.
Yeah, if I recall correctly, it's third.
All right.
We did the original... I think we did... The original one, and I don't remember the last one we did. Beer trading, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, we talked about a bunch. That was the one I edited that was like...
I forget.
I don't know. 240 minutes long that I molded down to about 55.
Yeah. That was a doozy.
That was a keeper. That was a good thing I was unemployed, because I spent a whole day editing that motherfucker.
Oh, a lot's changed since then.
All right, let's keep this one tight.
Yeah, tell us about your new job, man.
So I left the bar restaurant industry and joined the craft beer industry officially. Right now I'm the West Michigan market manager for Saugatuck Brewing Company.
That works, man.
Right on.
The ninth largest brewery in Michigan.
Right on. I didn't realize they were that big.
Robots.
Yeah,
we
got that.
You were slightly robotic, but I think you're back now.
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't realize Saugatuck was that big. I had never really heard much about them until I was randomly Facebook friended by a guy that's one of your reps. This is going swimmingly.
He's still there?
I bet it's a delay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, God, we have like 4 or 5 second delay.
Oh, jeez.
Let's just take a moment and see
who friended you, or is it?
Jonathan Cole.
Oh yeah.
I think he's friends with Sarah Hadamaki from Left Hand, and some other people I know. And I never actually questioned the connection. I just said okay.
Yeah, he's my counterpart on the east side of the state. He used to work for Finch's out of Chicago.
Yeah, he used to work for Finch's when I first connected with him on Facebook, and it was about, I don't know, a couple weeks, and he moved over to Saugatuck. So that was honestly the first I ever really heard of the brewery, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people realize that it's one of the top 10 ones. So,
do you know how long have they been around? You know me, I don't do research, so I could have read all of this on their website, but I refuse.
That's not fun.
Yeah, they've been 2005.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
So that's relatively new. I mean.
Yeah.
Kind
of. You gotta figure late 90s, early 2000s when a lot of them started popping up.
Yeah. Yeah. And they, so and they've grown to ninth. That's pretty cool. I mean, yeah, I've never had any of their beer. I haven't had a single drop, so I have absolutely no idea.
Well, we'll have to get you caught up when you're here.
Mm-hmm. We should
at least sit, or send you home with the sampler pack.
Yeah, there we go.
Whatever seems prudent. I'm game for all of these things.
Well, hopefully there's plenty of room in your vehicle.
So what do you do with your new job? I mean, what does it entail, I suppose?
Basically, I cover all the way from the southern lakeshore, Indiana-Michigan border lakeshore, St. Joe area, all the way up to Petoskey and northern Michigan, but my main markets are West Michigan, so Kalamazoo, Grand Rapids, Lakeshore, and then even over to Lansing.
Okay.
But I meet with distributors and set goals for them and make sure, you know, they're pumping our beer out, get them, you know, let them know what's coming up, what's, you know, what to look forward to, and help them hopefully forecast what they're going to order from us so we can get a production schedule in order. Then I go out
basically
and market.
Twist their arm until they buy.
Well, I guess you could say that, but...
Oh, right on. So I guess I've never realized that aspect of a brewery sales rep is you have to ask them how much they'll need or whatever, and then that kind of sets the quota for how much they're going to actually produce.
Yep. Yeah, we're officially in all of Michigan, and then we have now Chicago market. So we have a gentleman that works in Chicago, and then we have John who works on the other side of the state. He deals with all the Detroit and area, southeast, whatever. So, yeah, we go to our distributors and kind of see what their, you know, their plan for next year is. We kind of go with that when we're, you know, our mainstays obviously we make all year, but then there's our specialty release and whatnot. And,
sure.
You know, we have to kind of go by last year's numbers and see what they want. Like, you know, one of our more successful beers is Neapolitan Stout, which we got to drink tonight on Nitro.
Oh, man.
And we changed the packaging this year, so the sales almost doubled. And if it's just a matter of the packaging, kind of.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they think it's the packaging or just, you know, word of mouth.
The beer's great beer, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so, you know, the packaging helped. It was brighter. It was more eye-catching.
That'd be one hell of a...
I want to say on an unbiased note that I do not like Nitro beers. Like, I've never been a fan of Nitro beers, but that beer tonight, that Neapolitan Stout, was fucking awesome on Nitro. That,
yeah.
And since it's the only one that I like, I can say it's my favorite. So
there we go.
That's me sucking your brewery's dick right there. That is my favorite Nitro beer. It was that Neapolitan Stout that was actually really, really good.
I'm sure they appreciate the ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't? I think that'd be a really, really crazy story if it was the packaging that actually doubled the sales. I think you guys should just say that. And then you could probably get into, like, marketing fucking, like, textbooks for college for years. And I don't really think that actually gives you any money. But it's, like, free advertising because college students reading about your beer are going to be like, you know what? We should get some of this shit because the label is tits. And apparently the beers probably go okay, too. But they're college students. They don't know any better.
It's true.
Yeah, the beer's pretty good, actually. Exactly.
So what did you release last year?
So, next year,
beer?
You know, we got to...
Whoops.
Last year?
Yeah.
They did a Brewers Reserve Series last year. They did four of them. And I just started 2 weeks ago, so I'm still getting familiar with everything. But
I was going to say, if you know what they did last year, good for you. You did your fucking homework.
Yeah, sorry. I forgot that you're not a... You're just brand new to this. That's why I was like, whoops, when I said that.
Pete's into these hardball questions these days. He thinks we're on fucking Anderson Cooper 360 or something.
To Catch a Predator.
Let me go get my pamphlet. We'll be right back. I should almost get my history book of the brewery so I can tell you.
It's all right. I'm fine with whatever you know right now.
But, no.
My question actually was, so you talk to distributors directly.
Yes.
So we've been learning bits by bits and bit by bit or whatever. In a few of our previous podcasts about the tier system, the distribution system, and how it's kind of fucked in different levels on every state because every state's different.
and kind of confusing to me all the time, and I will never understand the fucking three-tier system fully.
Yeah, me and Pete have the same conversation every 3 months about the tier system.
3 months is like 3 days.
Yeah. I think that's our last podcast was about the three-tier system, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, you dealt with it to an extent as the as a bar. So my question is, so you talk just to the distributor, and then they deal with the nuances of talking to liquor stores versus bars and stuff like that, yeah? Or do you deal with that junk too? That is a giant icicle.
I can go out. I mean, part of my job too is to go out to the market and talk to people. So it's not just the distributor's job. It's, you know, I can go out there too and talk to them, set up events. A big thing that we can do that distributors can't do is we can do sampling events at like party stores, whatever. We can go in.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds similar samplings. That sounds similar to something we've heard before. I guess the only reason I really asked this was the only other like beer reps that we talk to on the regular are our friends from Left Hand, and maybe Kansas. The guy Oklahoma. We know that does the Midwest, like Kansas, Missouri, and Oklahoma and shit, I don't remember a conversation with him at all, and I only listened to the podcast once, so I don't remember if we asked him this or if we even talked about it, but Sarah, who's one of the reps out here in Colorado, they have different people on their sales team that will deal with bars and like the beer stores and stuff, so they have different folks in that, and I'm kind of assuming that's a state thing, since we have, you know, our beer stores in Colorado. You know, you can't just sell any strength beer you want at a grocery store like you guys can in Michigan.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I was curious if you're kind of like a one stop. You know, I talk to the distributor, and the distributor, you know, goes from there. Yeah, stuff like that.
No, I talk to distributors. I talk to restaurants. I talk to, you know, just bars or grocery stores. I eventually will have to talk with people like Meijer and D&W, which, you know, grocery stores, big chain grocery stores, and convenience stores. Yeah, I deal with everybody, so.
Okay.
I've got a lot to learn still.
Right on.
So first two weeks, has it been everything you'd hoped it'd be?
Maybe a little bit more.
Loaded question.
It's been pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, I did a ride along with one of the distributors. That was a great day. You know, got to meet some people. It's obviously easier to meet people, you know, with somebody that they already know. They're a little more receptive to me walking in, other than me just coming off the street going, you know, some tool bag with a pamphlet and a business card in my hand, and they don't want to see me. But, you know, you go in there with a distributor, you know, with one of the guys, like one of the reps from the distributorship that they already know and have a relationship with, it's a little more, it's kind of a good icebreaker, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
So that day was awesome. You know, we got a couple placements, not even trying, and then I did some market visits on my own, and I got home that night and was like, what the hell did I do today? What a waste of a day. Either people didn't want to see me, people were too busy, people weren't there. It was pretty discouraging, but apparently that's pretty common in this business. It's, you know, it's just a matter of meeting people and building a relationship is a huge thing. So,
okay. Well, that's cool, man. I just think that's badass. Just getting in the industry in general, I'm fucking jealous. It's fucking cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's definitely laid back and relaxed, but it's
Do you have any of your existing distributor like relationships from when you worked at Vitali's? Or
yep.
Okay. That's got to be helpful then too, yep, to like work with some guys you do know from a different like aspect of it.
Yep. Yeah, it's a lot of them. Yeah, obviously my big market, which is West Michigan, Grand Rapids area, and Lansing. I know those guys pretty well, so that was a super easy transition and comfortable, and kind of, you know, getting to talk to them and kind of learning the ways, whatever, was made it a lot easier than just going in there blind and cold and not knowing anybody. So
right,
yeah. No,
I get to do a blind, cold, unknown visit this weekend. Actually, I'm going to Petoskey and meeting with a distributor up north. So
nice.
That'll be interesting.
What are you prepping like in a specific way, or are you just you know, knowing your product or anything like that?
Yeah, my big thing is to, you know, see what the potential is up there, and It's not a huge market for us, but you know, whether it was not, we didn't give enough attention to it or not, I don't know. I got to figure that out. But
yeah, ask questions, man.
I prep. Just I gotta look at what they did last year. You know, compare and what they did last year compared to this year, and see where the different, you know, what fell off and what was strong for them. And you know, there's numbers out there that show me what they, what ordered more of this year, what they declined this year, or, and kind of see, go out and look at the market and see, you know, just go out to the market and see what they have, what the bars are like, what the, you know, the bottle shops are like. And
mm-hmm. Cool.
So, but you know, and then I meet everybody and then possibly spend some time up there and do some events, beer dinners or tap takeovers or whatever, festivals.
Speaking of beer dinners, you did a beer dinner the other day, didn't you? One of your first, if not your first. Well, the first one that you actually had to, I guess, to lead, right?
Yeah, it was a little different. Usually I did beer dinners in the past. I set them up, picked the beers, helped the chef with the food, and then I just sat down, ate, and got fat and drank the beer and sat back and watched everyone else do all the work. Well, this time I had to lead the show and talk about, you know, who we are, what, you know, what we're all about, talk about the beers each round, each course, and then the chefs, you know, luckily their two chefs and main chef were on hand to, they wanted to talk about their food and the pairing, so that kind of helped. But a little nerve-wracking being the guy in front of 40 people.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you like public beer dinner, speaking?
I wouldn't say it's my favorite thing to do, but...
I don't think anybody except for politicians will say that.
That's true.
Yeah, but if you know what you're talking about and you're comfortable, it's not too bad, and as long as you know what you're talking about and you're not trying to, you know, force things. It was, you know...
What beers do you have on tap, by the way? Or what beers did you have for pairing, rather? I forgot to ask you about that tonight on purpose because I wanted to find out about it on the podcast.
What we had tap that night?
Yeah.
They started out with our Bonfire Brown.
Okay.
And then they had some of our more of our eclectic beers that they've done in the past. Waxed bottles kind of thing, bombers only. They had a Big Swingin' Richard, which is a barley wine. They had Black Pearl Necklace, which is a Imperial Stout barrel aged. And then they also had another one, which was Not Messing Around, barrel-aged double IPA.
Oh, nice.
And then they had the Nitro Neapolitan Milk Stout.
Okay.
For dessert.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Neapolitan Stout is definitely
big
a dessert
beer. Yeah, oh yeah. It's got a little bit of strawberry, chocolate, vanilla, so it's definitely good.
Yeah.
So I do have to ask about that Pearl Necklace. They have the white wax with the drips on it. I mean, are they just being ironic or not realizing what they're doing?
It's actually, it is an Imperial Stout, and they dehusked the malt to take away the bitterness, and they used a hop. And I can't think of it right now, Crystal Palace, I don't know, kind of. But it's a hop that actually imparts a little bit of blueberry flavor. Or blackberry, I'm sorry. Blueberry, that makes sense.
Well,
so,
I didn't realize there were hops that would impart berries of any color flavor in there.
Yeah. Yeah, usually hops are citrus or something of that nature, floralish kind of, but...
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's actually... if now knowing that when I drink it, you know, and it warms up a little bit, you actually get a little bit of blueberry or a blackberry kind of essence in the background, but... No, it's super smooth. I mean, like you said, when they dehusk it and they take away that bitterness, it's a very smooth barrel-aged, you know, Imperial Stout with a little bit of that sweetness to it.
I've never heard of the process of or at least I've never been aware of a beer that dehusked their grains before. That's interesting, and I mean that's exactly what it would do too. So it's,
So yeah, so that was pretty cool. And then maybe the wax is a brewer's joke. That wasn't part of that, so I can't comment on that.
All I'm saying is I had ideas and I have a dirty mind, so
you might be right, but I really can't tell you.
I mean, the Flying Dog always makes jokes about their Pearl Necklace oyster stout.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. But that's Flying Dog. They do things differently with their marketing, so.
Yes, they do. Bunch of raging bitches.
That's a good beer, though.
That's so much. That's so funny that they had so much trouble trying to get that beer into West Michigan because of the fucking name.
I know, yeah. Right?
What are you pouring over there, Pete?
Oh, you know, just open your eye.
What's that? Where's that from, Pete?
Pete's birthday was yesterday, so Pete got a little treat.
Yeah, thanks again, Michael. For my birthday, I got the unreleased, as yet to be released, Imperial Rye Indo Pale Ale by Saga Talk called Hop in Your Rye. So, fucking 85 ABUs and 8% alcohol. I'm going to be a happy camper after I drink this. As if I'm not already for drinking this.
That's our January release for our new Brewers Reserve series, which will be every other month release. So
is that one they'll do again? Or is this kind of a like Founders Backstage where it's maybe not type scenario?
Yeah, you got to do this again because this is fucking awesome, by the way. Seriously, yeah. This is really good.
They just revamped how they're doing their Brewers Reserve series. As far as I know, last year they did 4. And this year they're doing 6. So every other month they're going to release a new one. They're 4 packs. This is the first one. I'm assuming if they go very well, they were going to bring them back. I mean, I think that's their goal, is to do something every year, same time, kind of making it seasonal. I'm sure if things are flops, they'll switch them in and out. So
yeah.
But the ones that go over really well, I'm sure they'll keep for next year.
This one's a keeper, dude. So fucking balanced.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fresh off the bottling line as of yesterday, so.
Damn.
It's probably one of the freshest beers I've ever had in that regard, then. But fuck yeah, it's so good.
Yeah. Yep, even the label was fresh yesterday. Came fresh from the printer. So
nice.
Lick that label, baby.
Fresh ooge on the back to stick it to the glass.
Exactly.
That's why it smells so salty.
Yeah, I had pineapple yesterday.
So that's pretty balanced, Pete. You like that?
Oh yeah, seriously, it's really good.
I finally tapped the rye pale ale I made for some fresh hops I had just sitting in my fridge that I needed to use up, and I put so much rye in this thing, it's super fucking bitter. It's ridiculous. It's not balanced at all, but I like it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got your style, man. Rye and bitter.
I know.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
Yeah. But Mike, what are you drinking, man? Your camera's off, so I can't actually see if you were drinking.
I got home and had dinner, and I haven't cracked a bottle yet, actually. So, unfortunately, I am not partaking in the drinking, unfortunately.
We are having a really bad fucking streak of guests that aren't drinking on the fucking show. And this disturbs me more than it probably should, but...
Yeah, me too. This is like, what, our third or fourth week?
I mean, yeah, Christ. Fucking Ryan was drinking water. We had Drew, when Drew and Ian were on, Drew was drinking fucking water.
We had Noel twice drinking water, and both of those podcasts failed.
Well, he was hammered the first time we did it.
That's true. Actually, he was drinking his own beer. Actually, he wasn't even drinking water.
Or maybe his beer is water.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, if no one's going to ask me, I'll tell you what I'm drinking.
Hey, Sam, what are you drinking?
No introductions. I don't get included in the drinking talk. God damn it. Why am I even
here? Just figure we're both leading this shit, so you make the effort, bitch.
Fair enough. I'm actually drinking I'm drinking a Crank Yanker IPA, which is a local beer from Eddie Line out here in Colorado.
I thought it was a Four Loco can when I saw it at first.
It looks like it, doesn't
Sam's
it?
Getting
it's fucking psychedelic,
here.
Man.
Oh, nice.
Mike,
yeah,
I don't know if
Sam's...
you can see our shit, but...
Sam's holding up this beer right now. It's got bright neon greens, oranges, blues. It just looks like somebody just... like an alien jizzed on a fucking can, and then they just went with that.
That's actually very true, and there's like ropes on
it.
Yeah, then you realize it's a bike chain and a bike gear, and the testicles are actually hops, but it's all those things look like it. All
right.
It's a little ridiculous. But no, seriously,
Crank Yankers.
These things look like fucking balls. Hold on, I'll see if I can get on there.
Oh, yeah. That's on purpose. Those hops look exactly like testicles unsheathed from their nutsack.
I mean, they're just right there next to each other. I challenge anybody with a mind that's not any more mature than a 15-year-old's to not think balls.
15? What the fuck are you talking about? We're like 8 mentally.
I was a late bloomer, all right?
I was going to say, you might want to go like 12, maybe.
I said as soon as I hit 8 years old, my humor just stopped maturing. I was like, I'm really comfortable in this humor level. Like, I love talking about pissing and farts, so I'm just going to stay around here if that's all right with you guys. Oh, no, it's not? All right, I have no friends. Fucking that's cool.
18 years later, who's talking about farts?
What's that?
Who doesn't like talking about farts? It's a great conversation.
It's true. Yeah. The sooner you can talk about it, the more comfortable you're going to be with your friends anyway.
Noel's favorite statement is farts will always be funny.
What are they not? It's like burping and farting. I mean, just the most grotesque things that come out of your body. Except explosive diarrhea after hibachi. Maybe that tops it, but anyway.
That and diarrhea I recently found out is pretty awful.
I like how you call it diarrhea.
Well, it's from eating Thai 3 days in a row. I just shit my nuts off. It's awful.
I'm sure that was like hot sand and lava.
It was not pleasant.
So you got to put in the description of this one that there's a lot of talk about farts and diarrhea, even though there's only been 2 minutes. Got to have a tag in there.
I don't know. It's a lot. It's probably the longest we've gone without talking about teeth in a couple episodes, too.
Truth.
There's 1.5 minutes on brewery rep, and there's 2 minutes on farts and pooping.
Right. It's proportionally appropriate.
It's anything a podcast should and would want to be.
Absolutely.
So I was proposed an interesting question, and I'm pretty sure we've answered this before, but if you could take 2 beers with you for the rest of your life on an island, if you could not, like if there was just, you knew you had to go to an island, it was fucking apocalypse on the horizon, and they're like, all right, you need food, a bed, water, and 2 beers for the rest of your life, what would you choose? I've already answered this, I'll go last. So Sam?
Thanks for putting me on the spot.
Well, I wasn't bringing you up in the past one, so I wanted to give you your proper introduction.
Is it specific beers, or is it...
Specific beers. Yeah, you can't do styles. You can't do styles. You have to do specifics.
I did not think of styles, but fucking A, Michael, that was smart.
You bitches, that's copping out.
God, man, don't know. First that comes to mind is probably Red's Rye. I'll drink that until the day. I'll probably die drinking a Red's Rye.
Oh, isn't that
from Founders? Just that'd if be a anyone way to go didn't out, know, dude. Know that.
That'd be a way to go out.
Yeah. Shit. But the second one, that's tough.
PBR.
You know. So here's the thing, man. If it's until the guys die. Like, I'll drink PBR, I'll drink all that shit, you know, when I'm out doing stuff or when I
No. I'm not saying, like, you have 12 hours to live. I'm saying you have the rest of your life to live. You just have
exactly, and that's why I wouldn't drink PBR for the rest of my life, man. I love this stuff, but if I got 2 beers for the rest of my life, and the thing is, I love really fucking dark beer. See, I can't answer this quickly. This is a good time chewer. I'd have to say Yeti.
Ooh.
Just plain Yeti. Doesn't have to be fancy Yeti. I mean, if I had the availability and the choice, I would probably choose chocolate Yeti, but just run-of-the-mill, everyday Yeti would be fine with me, too. So
I'll allow chocolate Yeti. I will totally allow that. All right. I mean, well, I said any beer, so, I mean, you can literally take any 2 beers that you want onto this island for the rest of your life to drink, but it's the only 2 beers you will ever have for the rest of your life, so...
All right, well, then I got Red's Rye and Yeti, because then I got my light and my dark.
There you go.
Boom. There you go.
Chocolate Yeti. Officially.
You're going to have
just... From Great Divide Brewing Company, Colorado. Denver, Colorado.
I don't want to be on that same island as you, because your shits are going to be bad.
Dude, I will be able to write SOS with my diarrhea. It'd be terrible.
This has gone south quick.
Indeed. Almost literally, because we're talking south towards our assholes. Michael, what are you doing? What are you drinking?
I gotta say that at least I gotta have my dark beer, which is gonna have to be Barrel Aged Narwhal, which I got to try out Great American Beer Festival.
Oh yeah.
I didn't try BA Narwhal.
Yeah, you were unlucky then. And then I would have to say, I have to have something light, and, you know, when I'm trying to clean up my bowels a little bit. yeah, I, you know, either Founders All Day IPA or even like Bell's Two Hearted.
I was hard pressed not to say Bell's Two Hearted, man. That's a good fucking beer too.
Yeah.
And I was pleased to see that they made I can't remember if I actually shared it on our Facebook page, but about four people sent me that top 10 IPA article from Thrillist, and Bell's was Two Hearted was number four.
Nice. Yeah, nice. Yeah, I saw that on our page. Right on.
I must have shared it then. I don't remember, but yeah, that was a good fucking beer, man.
Somebody posted it on Beer and Loathing's page, though.
Yeah, that was Miller.
Yeah.
Hi, Miller. You don't listen to our podcast, so
I'll have to check that out.
Eat a pee.
But thank you for posting that, Miller.
Eat a pee.
And listen to our podcast, bitch.
I'll see him in a couple of days. I'll tell him.
Slap a hoe around.
So MBs two were barrel aged, narwhal, and
yep.
I wasn't listening. You said Two Hearted, yeah? Or no, Founders IPA.
Yeah, we'll go Two Hearted.
All day,
we'll
go Two-Hearted. All day or Two Hearted. Okay.
Yeah. Either or.
All right, Pete. You said you've answered this before, but I don't think you've answered it to me.
I'm tossing three beers around right now.
Well, you said two, asshole.
I know, but I'm trying to narrow it down. That's why I had you guys go first, because I wanted to narrow it down in my own
you
mind
said
first.
You answered this before. What kind of fucking game
the
is
first,
this that
the
you
first
suck
two,
at so
okay,
bad?
All right, the first two that I said, I'm automatically. And you said something that made me retract my second decision. It was Black Label and Centennial IPA by Founders. I can drink Centennial every day, all day. I could for the rest of my life and be happy. And Black Label as well. I can put those down. But when stout season comes around, I just want a stout. So I'm like, well, fuck. I would totally forgo Black Label to get a stout. But now I'm just kind of undecided under what stout that I want. And I think I... what would I do for a stout? What would I do for a stout?
I don't
know.
What would you do for a Klondike bar? I don't know.
Exactly.
Tell me.
So now I'm just all torn up inside about this.
Pete, did you see Sam, did you see the message I just sent you?
Uh-uh.
Oh, I sent you a message. Anyways, go ahead. Come on, Pete, let's hear what you got.
I'm just going to say Black Label and Centennial. I'd forgo stouts. They're my favorite type of beer, but...
Yeah, those are the two that...
I can't drink them every day.
Those are the two that you mentioned earlier at the bar tonight, so...
Yeah.
Stick with what you said.
Yeah. Seriously, I mean, I would love to have a stout once in a while, but if I didn't have one for the rest of my life, it'd be a shitty life to live, but... At least I have Black Labels and my Founders.
Yeah, I couldn't go too long without a stout. Or even a good porter.
Well, both. I mean, I might trade Black Label for a Founders porter, but...
Ooh. Now you're talking.
Yeah. Or a breakfast stout. But I drink that so rarely. But at least it'd keep me alive on the island, you know? That'd give me, like, a lot of calories.
Get you a little bit of caffeine, too.
Right.
With a coffee.
Actually, you know what? I was talking to somebody about that, and there is such a nominal amount of caffeine from the coffee beans that you don't even feel it. You'd have to drink, like, 100 beers or something like that to feel the effects of one cup of coffee. By then, you'd probably be dead. So
I believe that. I don't drink caffeine, so, like, if there was, like, a cup's worth of coffee in there, I would have been just... on fucking cocaine, like, jacked up.
Shorts, cup of Joe. If I had to take a stout with me, if Ooh. I could take a third, I'd take Shorts, cup of Joe.
All right.
Yeah, I think they'd have to put it on the label if there was enough caffeine in there to register. I think they'd have to almost put on the label. I'm sure the FDA would step in.
That's true. I mean, they already announced that, like, you can't drink it while you're pregnant or operating machinery, but seriously, if it was going to do something for somebody
with
a heart condition...
probably the alcohol.
Yeah, but if they had to do it for somebody with a heart condition, like I'm saying, I'm sure they would have to... put something on there.
Yeah. At some weirdo's allergic to caffeine or something.
Right.
Which I've never heard of, but you never know.
Alright, man. Well, thanks, Michael, for being on the show. Sam and I are going to wrap this one up, but we want to thank our friend Michael, our repeated guest, and hopefully not the last of several episodes to come. So thanks for coming on, man. We can't wait to hear about your adventures at Saugatuck, and thanks again for the beer. so fucking good, honestly. Like, really, really good.
Good. Glad you liked it. Appreciate you, you know, just having me on and my little short stint tonight. But yeah, let's do some more in the future.
Yeah, man. Congrats. And have fun on that big ass cold call you have coming up.
Yeah.
Sweet. Cheers, gentlemen.
Take care, brother.
Cheers, Michael.
See you guys.
Oh, it's such a sad noise when they leave.
I know. And now we have to wrap this shit up ourselves.
Well, we used to start these things on our own.
Indeed.
How bad could it be?
It's like 2.5 people on this show now.
So, like, we're 1.25 each, or, like, one of us is 1.5?
I was going to say, like, it'd be, like, us two, and then Michael would be half a person, because he was only on for half the podcast.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, right now, physically. Like, there's some...
Physically, no. I mean, my cock would accommodate for at least 0.03% of the podcast, but...
Not mine.
All right.
Yeah. So I know we were talking about this earlier, and I'm just not willing to let this one go away.
I don't want to either.
In terms of this podcast. And I liked the conversation we were having earlier. And this has nothing to do with anything we were talking about earlier, but grain alcohol, Everclear. You said you'd had some. I've had some experiences with Everclear.
Shoot yours, man, first.
Mine's a very large experience, I guess, overall.
I have two, and they're not very long, but I want to hear yours.
Okay, well, mine's more of a... Mine's a bottle. So I had a friend... that went down to Purdue. A guy we hung out with high school, he went to Purdue in Indiana. And freshman year, we went down to visit him because why the hell not? We had nothing else better to do. And it's fucking Purdue, and I don't know. It's actually not that big of a school in the grand scheme of things, but it's got that bravado about it, you know?
Decent football program?
Even that's questionable these days.
Well-regarded football program, I guess. Yeah. Well-respected, I guess, is the words that I'm looking for.
It's old. But the other thing was, we knew we could get a bunch of fucking liquor and fireworks that we couldn't get in Michigan. So we packed all our shit up. We went down to the dorms in West Lafayette. And what happened down there is a story for a whole other time. But we came back with like one or two bottles each of Everclear. And it's straight up 95-99% grain alcohol. And when I say 99%, I mean like 198 proof. And like right on the bottle, it just had like this little animated picture of a corn husk. And it just says, not intended for human consumption. It was just straight up, and it's like flammable. It had all these like warnings.
Now when you say animated, do you mean cartoon or do you mean it was animated on the bottle?
It was animated on the bottle. It was moving around. Smart ass. It's a fucking stamp, basically, of corn.
Right.
It was just a shitty representation of a corn husk. So, I don't have one story in particular. I just remember I would drink 100 proof vodka in college, and it'd take me a week or two to go through it. You know, I was 19 years old. I still can't drink liquor. I couldn't drink liquor then. I just thought I could. And it took me like a month and a half or 2 months to finish this fucking bottle. And it was just a regular, like, fucking fifth of the stuff. And
I'm surprised you finished the bottle, to be completely honest.
Well, I'm a stubborn asshole, so when it really comes down to stuff like that, and I want to have bragging rights, I'm like, I'm going to finish this shit. Which is really all it was, because I never enjoyed drinking it. I would take, like, two or three shots and drop it into, like, a 20-ounce of fucking Mountain Dew Code Red, and... I would drink that for a night, and the one time I ever took a shot of it straight up, it was like a half, it wasn't even a half shot, it was like a quarter of a shot glass of fucking Everclear, and just threw it back, and within 20 seconds, my stomach's like, mm-mm, it's coming up, see you later, and fucking threw it back up, and everything else I had in me, and it burned so bad going down, and even worse, coming back up. It was just the worst, man.
It's like putting baking soda together with that thing when you make the mini volcanoes in school.
Yeah, except for I could point it at the toilet, so I just, you know,
that was good.
Had that going for me. So this story is actually not mine, so I don't know if it's really mine to tell, but a guy I knew, in college. We lived on the same floor in the dorms and stuff. And he didn't do this like freshman year when we first got those bottles of Everclear or anything, but he got a taste for it. And I ran into him a couple years down the line, like junior, senior year, and
got a taste for it?
Yeah, Everclear.
Wow, that ball's the size of fucking cantaloupes.
This kid was, he was something else. He was, to put it into perspective, I ended up talking to a guy I'd never met before 8-9 years later at a job who remembered him. Like, this guy went to Grand Valley, the guy that I knew, we all went to Western, and this guy, Matt, was like, do you know a guy on the Ultimate Frisbee team, and used to take flaming shots of Everclear? I'm like, Maya. He's like, yes, shit. Maya. So this leads on to where I was going with the story. I ran into him a couple years later, and his thing used to be when he was on the Ultimate Frisbee team, they would go out to all parts of the Midwest, you know, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, and all that shit, and he would get Everclear, and he would light the fucking shots on fire and take shots of Everclear. And that's not the story.
That sounds dangerous.
You're telling me. So here's what happened. He was telling me a couple years later, he was like, yeah, I kind of had to give it up. After one night I had done a couple and I was starting to get pretty loaded. I'm like, no shit, dude, you're drinking 200 proof fucking alcohol. Two shots will just load you up. Apparently he missed the flaming shot of Everclear.
Oh, no.
Set his face on fire.
Holy shit.
He only lost his eyebrow on like one side. You know, it wasn't bad, but oh, man, could you just imagine being there, like sitting there watching a guy set his face on fucking fire?
Miss a flaming shot of Everclear and just, oh, no, not at all.
Yeah, and that's why he was a legend, and he will forever be known on the Ultimate Frisbee Circuit as I think he's a math teacher or something now.
Oh, wow. That's
fucking brilliant.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
Them goddamn math teachers.
Dude, I wonder about them sometimes. They are a different breed.
That's true.
So, my Everclear stories.
Yeah, mine's not as good as that, but I had a buddy in high school who his mom would make apple hooch, which she got Everclear 200 proof from Wisconsin and would bring it back and mix it with apple cider.
Yeah.
And she'd make it and it'd still be strong. I mean, you could still taste, it would still taste a little boozy, but it would be palatable. And she would make it and put it in mason jars and give it out at Christmas. Well, one year, she just made it for a party. She had like two bottles of Everclear, and then she mixed it with a lot of apple cider and gave it out to all of the underage kids at this party. And we drank it in a barn while we're sitting around a fire, and the party lasted probably 2 hours. I would say it was from like 8 to 10 because we started drinking and we're like, oh, this is really good. Then like 9:30 we're all like, hey, can't even fucking understand. Everybody's falling into each other. People are getting like into fights. People are leaving because their girlfriends are dragging their boyfriends out because they're trying to start fights. And I don't really even remember what happened that night. I remember being in a pole barn, and then the next morning I woke up at my buddy's place, and we didn't even talk about it because neither of us remembered the fucking night.
That sounds about par for the course.
Exactly. But that was the first time I'd ever even tried it, and I'd had it, you know, I guess watered down, quote unquote, with the apple cider, but I had it mellowed out, I suppose. But the next time I tried it, my parents brought some back from South Carolina, and it was the same shit, and it was unopened. Like, no one was going to drink it. I mean, what the fuck?
Did your parents buy it because they thought it was funny, or were they like, eh, we'll make some cocktails out of this?
Their friends actually gifted it to them. They're like, you can't get this in Michigan, so you better take it. And I'm pretty sure we can get it in Michigan now, but
I don't think you can get pure Everclear. I think you can get something that's labeled Everclear, but
okay.
Unless they change the spirit laws, I think anything over 150 something proof or anything around there is illegal in the state of Michigan.
Okay.
Because you can get 151, and that's the highest I ever saw.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. So they had a bottle of that. It was sitting in the liquor cabinet, and I'm like, this hasn't been opened. Does anybody want to try this with me? My mom's like, Yeah, I guess I will. A little bit.
Dorothy for the win.
A little bit. And Rebecca's with me, so of course we're like, yeah, let's fucking try it. Like, we've never tried this before. So we had these tiny little shot glasses. I mean, they were probably like an ounce and a half.
Yeah.
And we lined up all the shots, and we're like, cheers. Who the fuck knows what's going to happen after this? And we did the shots, and instantly my mouth, all the moisture felt like it was just sucked from my mouth. Like, dry mouth city, just...
Oh, really? Yeah. I don't even remember that much from my my little quarter shot that I took, man. I honestly couldn't tell you. It was such an overwhelming experience in general that
yeah.
I couldn't tell you that's what happened or not.
And you could feel it the entire way down, going down everything into the stomach, and then the buzz that I got from it was unlike any I'd ever had. It was just... It was like an uncomfortable buzz, like you just got drunk too quickly or something like that. You're just like, ugh.
I can see
everybody's kind of just like sitting there like, huh, that's weird. Like your brain's like, this is like a virus or something. Like, I don't know if I need to send out white blood cells. Like, what, do you have cancer now? What the fuck is this?
I vaguely remember when I would do my mix of Code Red and Everclear that I would get a weird buzz too. That I mean, I was 19, so I had no fucking clue. To begin with, it'd be fun to do it again now and see if it felt different, but at the time I was just like, this is new. I just drank a couple of sips of Mountain Dew and now I feel funny.
Right. Yeah, it was a weird buzz. And I'm sure I felt that one night that we had all the apple hooch, as it was called. But I got so drunk so quickly.
There was always so when we went to school, we always knew guys from Indiana. And we hung out with him from the ski team and stuff, and he would make like Kool-Aid, as he called it, with Everclear, and they were always able to make that mix, kind of like the hooch, the whatever, the apple pie shit, like you were drinking, and you would drink it. It's like, this is Kool-Aid. It's like, yeah, there's a 198 proof grain alcohol in there, so enjoy. It's fucking terrible, though. It's like, I remember having a glass once, and he was like, hey, you shouldn't drink another glass of that. Okay, fine, I won't. he just straight up told you,
it's not going to be good if you have another glass. This one will do you.
Yeah. He's like, this is for the girls. We want their panties to fall off, not yours. So.
Oh, that's rapey.
I know. that was a pretty bad joke. A rape joke, I guess. I don't know.
Speaking of panties... this is the worst segue I've ever made, but the first time that I ever met my girlfriend Rebecca's family, we went up to Rogers City, Michigan, and we had just heard of this new recipe from a party we went to, and it was called Pink Panty Droppers, and essentially you take a fifth of vodka and some pink lemonade drink, and then you take probably...
Like 12 beers.
Yeah, 12 beers. I think you take 12 beers, a fifth of vodka, and some pink lemonade mix, and you put it into a jug, and you bring it up. And a gallon jug. As many beers as you can fit into that. And I poured it into a Powerade jug. And, like, the entire time up there, it's all back roads, right? I mean, once you get past Grand Rapids, pretty much, in Michigan, the rest of it is 75 and then two-lane blacktop. So... We're headed up there, and we're stopped by a gas station, got a few beers, and we're drinking as we go up there. And when we get up there, her brother's playing Mushroom, you know, where you stick the cards underneath the beer can, and I'm playing with Pink Panty Droppers. And the last thing that I remember, I'm drinking out of a Powerade bottle, and the last thing that I remember is looking at the lantern on the table and the cards and being like, that's gonna pop soon. Somebody's gonna have to chug that beer. And I wake up in my tent, and it smells like piss, and I have a bad headache, and I get up, and everybody's sitting around the fire in the morning cooking breakfast, and they're like, hey, Pete, how do you feel? Mind you, I had not met this family. I have not met this extended family. They're like, hey, Pete, how you feeling? I'm like, really bad. And they're like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense, because you drank that entire thing of Pink Panty Droppers and then pissed on the tent and fell into it and then passed out in it, and I think you pissed in it again. I'm like, damn it! Damn it! The first time I've ever met him, they're like, yep, this guy is grade A alcoholic. Okay, perfect. Glad he's getting into our family now.
I can't remember if you ever told me that story or not, but that's awesome.
Oh, it was so bad. It was so bad. So at least I set the bar high, though. So if I did anything in the following years, it wouldn't be that bad. But
yeah, no, definitely. We made pink panty droppers for a college party once, and that was really popular amongst the frats where I went to school.
Oh, for sure.
This not quite as good of a story as that, but I had a similar one with it wasn't pink panty droppers. It's something a friend of mine calls drunk girl punch. Which is just it tastes like fucking fruit punch, like red fruit punch, and it's got about 2/5 of fucking vodka in it, of 100 proof vodka in it, like Smirnoff.
Oh.
And we did a canoeing trip, and we were doing the flat river up in Belding.
All right.
And,
hometown represent.
Yeah. By the end of it, I wasn't fully blacked out. I was browning out pretty hard, like just coming and going, and one of the few things I remember was standing in the back of the canoe on the seat, singing like I was in fucking what's the city in wherever that's
Venice.
All rivers? Venice. Yeah, pretending I'm in Venice, paddling the canoe, just singing full opera, not anything, just nonsense. There's a whole lot of bungholios, buttholios, and anything with an olio in it. And we're and you know how fast the Flat River is, man. It's barely moving. I somehow don't even see a willow tree coming up on me, and I get caught in this willow tree. I'm like, ah, rah, 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 and just fall out of the canoe, standing up into 6 inches of water in the Flat River. And it's like, oh my ass! And I got back in, and next thing you know, we're in a fucking car going somewhere. And then they're like, let's go to the Smyrna Bar. I'm like, I don't think I should go to the Smyrna Bar. I don't have my ID, and I'm kind of loaded. And I don't know, that was the rest of the day. And then I woke up in a car going like 80 miles an hour down the expressway.
Nice. Was it nighttime or daytime?
Oh, it was still daytime.
Oh, that's
good. It was like 2 p.m. when I got knocked out of the boat.
Oh, Jesus. Fantastic. Yeah,
it was not late.
What's your river drink of choice? I mean, coming from Michigan, I feel like we've been privileged coming from the east side of the country that we have all these rivers and shit that we can go down this summer. Like, that is quintessential summertime. When you think about the summer, you're like, I'm going to go to the lake. I'm going to go fucking tubing and canoeing and shit like that. Like, it's got to be a different dynamic where they don't have 10,000 lakes in their state. But, I mean, that aside, what was what still is your canoeing or tubing beverage of choice?
Well, at the time, in Michigan, my tubing beverage of choice was usually Pabst. When I was canoeing, it was usually Pabst, and then I would have a couple bottles of what I call jail juice, which is some 20 ounces of A&W root beer with about, I don't know, 3 or 4 ounces poured out, and then Jaeger poured in to replace it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Jaeger, dude. Fucking Jaeger, no. Man.
Dude, you
Jaeger
put that with some
– poison.
You put that in with some Diet A&W, and it is magic.
Rum.
Delicious.
We'd pour rum in with Diet A&W and call it Pirate Brew.
And that's pretty good. I like that.
That shit would get you crawling on the floor. You would be down on the floor so quick.
No, just try doing that with Jaeger. Imagine what that'll do to you. It makes you want to fight the floor after you're crawling on it.
Yeah, it makes you want to fist pump to club music.
So that was my canoeing drink. So like you were saying, like out here in Colorado, yeah, canoeing and tubing are – actually, tubing's pretty prominent. There's a handful of rivers. You just have to be really committed to do it because it's not like they're everywhere.
Shit, you probably have whitewater rafting, too. In fact, I know you have whitewater rafting, right?
We have whitewater rafting, and I actually did whitewater tubing once, like 8 years ago, but not entirely on purpose. but nowadays, now that I'm a classier tuber,
sure.
I only went tubing once since I moved here, and I took a six-pack of Upslope IPA, which is a local beer. But it was a Sunday fun day, so I didn't feel like, you know, draining a case of Pabst like normal.
Right.
Otherwise, I might change it up. We'll see what happens. I've only gone once. I have my own tube. We don't even rent tubes out here. We go rogue.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's fun.
That's all right.
Yeah. What's your go-to? You've gone canoeing a couple times this year. I know that.
Yeah, canoeing and tubing. I didn't go tubing this year, but I did go fall canoeing, and we just got a 12er of. Thought that was really good.
Good.
And
I have not had any of their beer.
If I didn't say anything, you would know that I didn't like it. But I'm gonna say that was a really good beer.
No, yeah, that's true. That's how you operate. That's good.
Yeah, if I don't have anything nice to say, I won't say it at all. So, anyway,
a true gentleman.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please give us some ratings. Give us some love on Facebook. Give us some love on Twitter. You know all the addresses, facebook.com/beerandloathing.com. Beerandloathing.com is our website. @beerandloathing is our Twitter.
It could be our Instagram handle, but there's a guy who really likes it that will not give it up. So I will graciously say, So, anyways. You
probably edit that, Dave. Probably edit that.
You're the published one.
Ladies and gentlemen, hopefully you can hear me.
Whoa.
Be right back.
All right.
Hold on. Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
That sounded exactly the same.